Probably get out of here a little early. Welcome to the last session. I know some of you have been here for the whole thing and others have just jumped in.
Who's recording?
But my wife Caitlin cannot make it today. We were planning on her leading this last session, and we had two sick kids last night, so I had to come to work, and she is staying home with the girls. And so this morning I was like, okay, what are we talking about? What are we doing? But we're closing out the book, Habits of the Household, and so ending with some encouragement, some vision for you as parents or soon to be parents or even grandparents as well. What's up, Jesse? When we pass out, I printed something for you that you include in the book. You all right?
Oh, yeah. It's a little wet.
I'm not a big fan of that jacket.
No.
Thanks for that, man. What?
Hey.
What?
Bunk moments.
Oh, my God.
We travel in numbers.
Everybody else in here loves it.
I'll walk over there. Well, I guess this class is gonna end super early. We'll end it right now because of that. I do not want to encourage any acne.
I mean, we still like you even though you're a TU.
UT.
I didn't see the chair. I was trying not to make you guys be.
All right. Well, how's everyone's week going? Well, weekend? You hating the rain?
A little bit.
Anyone plan on going to the Highland Parade in the rain?
No.
Okay, yeah. Right on. Hey. Cool. Well, let's dive in. Let me open us in prayer. We'll watch the video and we'll discuss and close out the class. Dear Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I do just praise you for the rain. I praise you for what the rain brings. Lord, it feeds the plants, it feeds the land, and it provides life. And so, Lord, we just praise you for the life that you've given, the life that you've created. Lord, I thank you for just the opportunity to walk through habits of a household, for the encouragement to all of us as we looked at this book on just adjusting habits, adjusting rhythms in our household as we parent our kids. Lord, I pray today would just be encouragement, be an encouraging class that, Father, yeah, there's this tension of we live in the now and the not yet, but may our eyes be set on the not yet. And may we have vision to lead and parent and live our lives with the focus on the not yet of one day being in eternity with you. And so, Lord, may we pursue that and have vision for that. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, the last... not even chapter in his book, but the conclusion of his book, he dives into this idea of the now and the not yet, which you've probably heard that before just as a Christian, as a believer, right? We live in this world of the now and the not yet. And so we're going to kind of flesh that out. We'll watch this video and then we'll discuss that. I hope the sound's off. Is that just on my computer? Hold on. Sorry, when my wife's not here, I don't know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on?
It might be super loud.
Sitting down for a coffee break in the middle of my workday, when a thought came to me. How old will my oldest son Whit be when I'm 50? It's a question out of nowhere, but I did the math in my head and I figured he'd be about 23. Then I tried to get back to my coffee when I wondered, well, what about my second son, Asher? And that's when I realized I was just gonna keep wondering this. So I opened a notebook that I always carry with me and I just started writing. I drew a column for my ages, and then next to it, I drew a column for each of the four boys, and I started writing all their ages. What happened next is honestly difficult to describe. All at once, I saw visions of my sons as teenagers and then young men. I saw memories of me holding them up in diapers and tickling them on the bed. And at the same time, I saw them walking down aisles as new husbands and holding up children as proud fathers. I saw them walking back in the door of some house, leaning down to hug Lauren. I saw a moment when I would be frail and they would be strong, with them holding my hand instead of vice versa. As you might imagine, I was awed, I was sad, I was joyful, I was scared, all at the same time, because for just a moment, I had perspective on time passing. I had what you could say was vision. If you're a parent in the thick of it, one of the hardest things for you to do is simply to look up, to get your head out of the day-to-day and see what is happening in the big picture. And yet that's exactly what we need to do if we want to keep parenting well in the day-to-day. This is a bit of a paradox, but so are all the most important things in life. The younger years of childhood feel like they're taking forever, and yet any grandparent will warn you, it goes by so fast. Parenting, as they say, is the longest, shortest time. And in that paradox of parenting, we need vision from above. We need God's perspective. Proverbs 29:18 says that where there is no vision, the people perish. In other words, to keep our hearts alive, we need to see the future how God sees it. And in God's perspective, this time is not too long. In God's perspective, this time is not too short. See, in God's perspective, this time with our kids, it's a gift, something that He has graciously given us, and it's our job to steward it well. Looking up helps you realize that this time is not all the time. It's a limited time. But it is the time that God has called you to parent these little image bearers we call children. And that is a wonderful and hard call to steward over time. What does that mean? Well, it's much harder to tell you than to show you. So I want you to take a minute and make this age chart with me.
We'll talk about that after the video too.
It's quite simple. Open the page of your study guide or find a blank page in your journal and write out your ages in a column on the left side of the page. Now write your name and your spouse's name at the top of that column, and write out your spouse's ages as well. Now, make a few more columns to the right. And write the names of each of your children at the top. Now right there, each is out. And there you've done it. Now, if you're like most people, you might be a bit teary-eyed seeing the visual of time passing, but that is part of the point. So once you've composed yourself again, now comes the important part. I want you to notice the ages and stages. Take a look at the younger years of being together. The middle stages. Where the teenage years fall. And jot some notes in the margins to give shape to these stages.
Hopefully.
Sometimes just seeing the future creates lots of important thoughts and prayers in our mind. Now, once you're finished, I want to reflect with you. One of the spiritual disciplines that has meant a lot to me is the practice of examine. The examine is a tried and true spiritual practice of meditating on your day and asking, where did I feel God's presence today? Or where did I long for more of His presence? Now, this can be done in lots of different ways with many different questions. But I mention it here because I want you to look and reflect on your age chart with the spirit of examine in your mind. Some of you are going to be done or mostly done raising your children. Some of you are only beginning. So this is not a prescriptive exercise where everyone is going to do the same thing. Rather, it's an opportunity to meditate on the past and the future for wherever you are. If you see things in the past, feel free to ask yourself, what am I grateful for? Where was God present in those times? You may also find yourself looking at the past and asking, what do I still need grace and forgiveness for? And those are all good questions. Those are all good thoughts. You'll find a lot more in your study guide. Or to the extent you're looking at the future, ask yourself questions like, what am I hopeful for? Or what do I feel like I need help with? What am I scared of? With those questions in mind, let's review some stages. Now, don't worry, our goal is not to get nostalgic, overly emotional, or afraid of how quickly time is passing. It's simply to ask, what unique things might God be teaching us in each stage as a family? First, notice the newborn years. These are the times where, likely, parenting is at its most physical and demanding. There are pregnancies and nursing, sleepless nights, lots of diapers. There's many moments of joy at this new life stage, but there are also oceans of change and waves of fear. This may be the time you are most likely to think, what does all this unceasing labor of caring for children have to do with the Christian life? Well, I want you to see that it has everything to do with making you more like Jesus. Notice that these are the years where you get to practice the sacrificial spirit of Jesus's life. No one is around you to thank you. But you get to humbly lay down your life over and over, and in doing so, to become more like Jesus. How might you see that anew? How might you reflect back on that? How might that help encourage you and your spouse? Next, notice the early formation years. These are the years of toddlers and young children. These are the days of a lot of innocence, but also the beginning of a lot of disobedience. These are the days of the most pure laughs and the most outrageous tantrums. This is humanity without a filter, and there is so much to love and so much to roll your eyes at. So what might God be doing here? Well, take note that these are the years that you get to see yourself in your children for the first time. to see that you are kind of more like them than not. That you too have infinite desires. You just have better behavior controls to hide them. Notice also that children in these years demonstrate some of the fruits of the Spirit, like joy and love, even better than we do. How might we want to become more childlike in those ways? In these years, you see up close all the ways a toddler needs a parent. So ask the Lord to show you how that is exactly how you need Jesus. Next, notice the in-between years, when toddlers are now children, but children are not yet adolescents. This is a beautiful age. It's full of education and formation. The habits of the household are beginning to take root, and conversations can actually begin to start. These are the ages of sports and trips, of reading and pure time. The days when you can just put time in the bank and create that sacred gift of childhood, memory. Here, a real mind is beginning to be formed through the memory of things learned and things experienced. So ask yourself how you might steward this time to create a rhythm of the household that reflects grace and unconditional love. But of course, note that these are also the early years of school and the beginning of growing up and all the fears and worries and anxieties that come with that. Ask yourself how you might be able to be present for your children in that time. In these years, you're building a real foundation. So ask the Lord to help you to build it well. Or if you are past this time, reflect on the grace of Jesus in these years, or even of your own childhood. Everyone has pain and scars, but what might Jesus be doing with that pain? What might he be doing with those scars? How might he be redeeming them, even if you caused them? So reflect on forming a memory of childhood full of grace and full of wonder. Now, the moment we've all been waiting for, notice those challenging years called adolescence. These are the days of developing bodies and developing minds. These are the days of incredible breakthrough conversations and incredibly difficult arguments. These are the days you begin to see the maturity of new adults and the immaturity of children's minds and teenagers' bodies. Now first, think back on your own times as a teenager and remember how difficult those years were. How did Jesus nonetheless show you grace? What did your parents do well? Where did they struggle? Now consider how you might steward this time well and begin to bridge the difficult gap between continuing to be a parent and showing them the love of God the Father, but also beginning to call them forward and show them that friendship of Jesus. What does it look like to love them with all the grace and truth of Jesus in this time? And how can you be as present as possible for important conversations? Now, finally, look at the rest of your time on that chart. All the years, Lord willing, that you continue to get to parent even when they are out of the house. All the stories yet to be written, all the opportunities God still has for you and for your children to draw you nearer to him and teach you both how to love others. And here is where we'll come to an end. Because at the end of Habits of the Household is the beginning of the rest of our lives. We don't get this stage forever, but we do get to steward it for a time. And our goal is not performing perfectly in these crazy moments of parenting. Our goal is looking up and seeing that God the Father is the ultimate parent of us and our children. Our goal is that as we all become his children, we become brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God. We see that heaven on earth is coming. Consider that for a second, because what starts here in the household ends out in the world. Our great hope is to send these children out as ambassadors for Christ, to find great husbands and wives, to raise children of their own, to be good workers and kind neighbors, and above all, to put God's love on display to the whole world so that more and more might come to know and worship him. Today, we might be changing diapers or talking with teenagers, but tomorrow, our goal is to send that love of Christ out into a world that needs it. And I hope that gives you hope. At the end of the day, you're not raising a well-behaved boy or girl. You're parenting a son or daughter of the King so that we all get to celebrate at the wedding supper of the Lamb together. That is a beautiful thing, and we get to play a part in it today. So yes, there is lots to do today in these years we get to steward, and it's worth practicing rhythms of waking and meal times, of screen time and discipline. It's worth giving it your all, but only because God gave us his all. He's the one who lived, died, and rose again that we might become more like him. And remember, the more we become like him, the more our children do too. So I hope you take all these habits, work on them in light of the unconditional love of God. Because remember, habits won't change God's love for you, but God's love for you will change your habits.
All right, who came in? Did you walk in the
H? Okay.
So it, there in that video, maybe would have been a little better to play that towards the end. But he talks about mainly this working through this age chart. But before we go there, as just a helpful, and there's different things you can do, but he just uses that as a helpful tool to give you vision as parents for your kids. But before I jump into that, I kind of want to just flesh out this tension that we live in of we live in the now, but not yet. And so what does that mean? Well, in God's story, right, the story of God, that's what we see in Scripture, in the story of God, that we live in the now, but the not yet. So someone just kind of share, what does that mean, that we live in the now, but the not yet? Have you guys heard that phrase before? I know Jared's used it from the pulpit, but just like as a believer, how do we live in the now, but the not yet?
We're living like in the world, mm-hmm. and we need to be present mm-hmm. to, you know, an extent of just being aware of what's happening around us and the people around us and the opportunities and all that stuff. But at the same time, it's easy to get caught up in the now.
Mm-hmm.
But keeping in mind, like, there is so much more in the future and Jesus is coming back and we will spend an eternity somewhere.
Yeah.
And we want as many people in eternity in heaven with Christ as possible. So I don't know, it's kind of like a balancing act in your head
mm-hmm.
of being present enough to not miss opportunities, mm-hmm. but also not being so present that you forget it's fleeting
exactly.
and it's temporary and there's so much more in the not yet that, you know, is important to keep in mind. And sometimes when I get really overwhelmed or caught
mm-hmm.
up in
mm-hmm.
what's going on in the world,
you have tunnel vision.
My husband Jesse always goes, in the grand scheme of eternity,
right.
it really doesn't matter.
Lift your head up.
You know, and so, and I'm just like, but it matters to me.
Yeah.
Anyways, but he's very good at keeping me, you know, reminded that it's the not yet.
Yeah.
The not yet is really what we live for.
Yeah.
And if we get caught up in the now and start living for the now, mm-hmm. then it's easy to get off track.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Is in the now, there is brokenness, there is sin, there is suffering that we're walking through. Just talking just as Christians, as individuals, right? There's pain in this world that sin has brought into the world that we are encountering on a daily basis. And so for us, it is so easy, like Ray was saying, just to get so focused just on those moments, just in those situations, in those circumstances. Well, that's the same in parenting, right? Parenting, we're still living in the now and the not yet. And now though, we have these image bearers, these kids that we're responsible to raise up. And it's so easy to live and focus only in the now and not focus on the not yet. Right? As a believer, we have the promise of the not yet, the hope that's to come. That in Christ, then, and we'll talk about here at the end, that all things will be made new. And so in parenting, we're living in the now, and it's so easy to just live in the day-to-day, just to respond only to the tantrum right there and maybe respond in sin or only focus on those moments and in that time now. But that's not what we're called to live for, right? as believers, as parents of kids who we want to raise up in Christ, we are called to live for the not yet. And so he says the very fact of our discontentment, right? We're in this now, there's this discontentment, this struggle, things don't go the right way, people respond in sin, parenting is hard and difficult. The very fact of our discontentment is a sign that we were meant for something else, right? We were created for a different world, for time with Jesus, everlasting life. But we're currently living in this world now, and God has a purpose for us now. Well, that's the same in parenting. He has a purpose for you as a parent right now in this time with your kids. And so it's important for us, before I go there, I guess, and so we long for that not yet. We long for those relationships, even with our kids, that aren't painful. We long for the tantrums to stop. We long for us, my anger, in response to whatever it is my kid doing, to stop. I don't want to respond in anger. And so the not yet is that he's going to make all things new. Let me read this example on page 216. So it is the call of the Christian parents to lift our eyes above the fog of the now and let the promise of the not yet inform our parenting today. This means acknowledging that marriage is hard, but fighting for covenant love anyway. This means admitting that technology is a serious concern, but working to put meaningful limits on it. This means knowing that kids will always need to be disciplined, but committing to loving discipleship. This means coming to terms with the fact that life with children is a mess, but meals and play and family devotions are worth it anyway. This means admitting that doing anything important is really hard and mostly marked by failure. For example, like practicing a rule of life for the habits of the household, but being convicted that it is worth trying anyway. Trying to live into the not yet despite the now is an act of faith. And that's what Christians parent by faith. So we're living in the now, this tension, this pool, but we want to live for the not yet. This is just the big vision for you as parents, for your kids. Okay? But the question, so he says, we parent by faith. But how do we do that? How do we practice parenting by faith? He says we must practice imagining the not yet. We must practice imagining the not yet in a way that calls us to change in the now. So what might that practically look like for you and your household at this time? We've walked through a bunch of habits. We've walked through some practical changes that you can make, and we've talked about all of those. But we're living in the now. We should be imagining the not yet. How can we practically parent and live in our households focused on the not yet? Let's talk about some examples of that.
You brought up technology.
Okay.
And it's certainly easy to just say, put on screen.
Yeah.
That way I don't see it.
Yeah.
But I don't want that to be my child in the future who has had nothing but whatever screens they wanted.
Yeah, and what is the screen teaching them?
Right.
What's on there, you know? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the easy for now is
comfort, like, and just...
Yeah, screen, whatever you want.
Yeah, that's right.
But since I don't want that, then I have to put effort that I don't want to put into it.
That's
I don't
right.
have to put into it.
That's right.
Because there is a screen available.
Yeah. And I'm tired from work.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
Yeah.
So,
that's a great example. And so taking that moment and saying, okay, I'm not going to live in the now, I'm going to live for the not yet. That means I have to sacrifice as a parent for my child. If that's attention, if that's doing something else, if that's teaching them, whatever it is. So, yeah. What are some other examples maybe?
The amount of time you put in now is proportional to how well things go later, right? Sometimes it's hard, like you say, you can pass them off on the screen, but time is a community, or a commodity, excuse me, but I love the song Cats in the Cradle because it's so true, because you're wishing that you had this time now, and but sacrificing that time now pays huge dividends later.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he quotes it there, now is the only moment we act in. Now is the only moment we act in. And we'll miss it and we'll never get it back. But that time now is the only moment that we act in. We can't jump to the future. We can't go back. And so it's important to take that time now that you have. Yeah. So he encourages like practicing seeing the now in light of the not yet. And he went to this age chart. Because what the age chart does is it allows you to see your kids and their ages and what year that will be. And you kind of get a bigger picture of where your kids will be at, when all the kids will be driving. You know, he said car insurance maxed out. Let's see, I put some other stuff too, but like, or empty nest, you know, hopefully if they're going to college or get a job, then they'll be out of the house. But and so it gives you that big perspective. And so on that sheet that I passed out, he kind of just walks you through how to do that. And it's helpful. But is that the only tool that you can use to look at this big vision of what you're trying to parent towards? No. He gives some other examples. He says, for you, this might be taking time to write out your family values or agree on a family motto. So you and your spouse going out on a date night and really just discussing that and talking about that. What is it that we want to instill in our kids? What is so valuable to us where we want to pass that on to our kids? What is our family motto? Is it to love Christ and love others? What does that look like for our family? And if that's our motto, then, okay, how do we parent them in light of that? He says, I know a lot of friends who have benefited much from making the time and space to think about the top five values of their family or creating a family motto that they all cling to. And he said, perhaps this could be making a list of resolutions, things your family is committed to doing over the long haul. And so just thinking about the big picture, the big vision of your family. Has anyone ever done that yet? Maybe when you, has anyone created that vision for your family or looked at it that way with your kids? And we have a variety of ages in here, no kids, and thinking about it. Yeah. Seth, of y'all? No.
Talk about it.
Yeah, talk about it, don't do it. Yeah, that's the same with Caleb and I. We've discussed certain things in a certain direction, but we've never really clearly lined it out, sat down and looked at, okay, where are our kids going to be? Where are we going to be? What are some values and resolutions for our family? Where do we want our kids to be in 20 years? What type of people do we want them to be? And so biblically, we're called to train them up in the Lord, to teach them, to raise them up as image bearers, as little gardeners, so that they can then go out in the world and garden, that they can share the gospel, that they can disciple. And so thinking about that perspective, that mission, that motto, then is going to impact your daily parenting. And so he does that age chart, and I hope that was helpful for you to kind of see where your kids are. So you can start thinking about that. And so when you look at the younger years and you see your kids at these ages, you can say, okay, these are the years that I need to do this, whatever it is, spend more time with them. These are the years where I'm going to have certain conversations with them. These are the years where, you know, and so you're just working through that and seeing the big picture and the big vision. Why? Because formation is a long game, right? Forming your kids to that mission, to that vision, being obedient to God's call on your life to raise them up, that's a long game. He quotes, he says, our motivation is not what we can accomplish through our habits in the now. Our motivation is what God will accomplish in the not yet. Okay, so we're doing this so that we're moving them, one, hopefully and prayerfully, to a relationship with the Lord by showing them that and by leading out in the ways that the Lord has impacted our lives with forgiveness and mercy and grace and training them up. And so he says that our motivation is not just in these habits that we do, the habits that we've talked about over the last 6 weeks, because those habits, you're going to feel like a failure most nights. And we laughed about those moments and talked about those. Tara mentioned, you know, that reconciliation habit that we talked about and her kid headbutting the other kid and having a bloody nose. And it was just like, okay, those are going to be majority of your nights that you have when you try to create these habits. They're going to feel like failures. But you're not motivated just by doing that there. You're motivated by, okay, but I'm going to continue to train up this kid so that one day they are going to understand what is true reconciliation, what is forgiveness, what is mercy and grace and kindness. And that's where you're leading them to. Does that make sense? So our motivation is in what God will accomplish in the not yet. So I just want to take a moment and just think back in your own personal lives. Like, how has that been true? Has there been someone in your life, maybe your parents, maybe someone else, that has come alongside of you, and maybe you see it now, they were training you up for the not yet, for the future, to raise you up into something. Someone who just has really impacted your life by, he talked, well, I don't think he did in the video, in the book, about his dad. His dad just showed an example of just a godly man and would read his Bible, would pray, would ask him to come and join him in the mornings. And sometimes he would, sometimes he wouldn't, you know, but he just consistently did that. And so he says, man, my dad set that example for me. And then when I was in college, we were actually, as I started to do that, I realized what my dad was doing, and we were able to have a salvation conversation because of that. And so has that been true in your life? Has there been someone who has shown you the not yet, or encourage you to live for the not yet throughout your life?
My dad and my grandfather were very adamant about just money management, systematic savings, that type of stuff, allowance, but here's how, you know, and they were very involved, and it was good. It was brutal as I was growing up.
Because you were like, why do I need this? I have no interest in this.
I thought I'd want to buy a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, you're right.
And then I wouldn't buy it, and I would hate that I didn't have a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah.
And then when I finally did buy it, I would hate that I spent the money. It was miserable.
Yeah.
It was terrible either way.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, there's some life lessons that
I learned
that have helped me.
And now they're instilled in you, and you're carrying them with you. That's a great example. Yeah.
Our kids hadn't gotten it yet.
I was going to, But are you practicing probably even differently or some new things with your kids, showing them, or same things?
Trying.
Two of them get it.
But the reason you continue to do it is why?
It worked for me.
That's right. Yeah. You saw it work for you. Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah. Any other examples?
I'm trying to get my kids to, this is just one of the reasons I'm trying to get them to not be worthless, is the basic, you know, basic problem solving skills. Daddy, this isn't working, come fix it.
Mm-hmm. He's a problem solver, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm like, nope, I'm done, fix it.
Yeah.
And they get that from me.
And I feel like they're gonna grow up.
And you want to put them through some,
everything.
Yeah. Look, it's working out fine.
So it's, you know, this Nintendo isn't working, or this thing isn't working. Mm-hmm. All right, tell me what you've done to try and fix it.
Figure it out.
Let's go through all the steps. And every time it takes one or two steps and they figured it out, they have to go through it.
Yeah.
She won't do it. But.
Yeah.
I said, go ask Daddy.
And they hate it whenever they ask me, and I'm like, all right, let's talk about it. Ugh, I don't need a lecture. Can you just come and fix it?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's helpful too with the age chart is there's certain ages where you're like, okay, obviously they can't do it. But then there's a certain age where, okay, I'm gonna take a step back and I'm going to ask them to start to do things, become a little more independent. I'm gonna watch them and they may fail, but I'm gonna be there. And so you can kind of see that through the different ages of the age chart with your kids. We're Charlotte, she's our 7-year-old. We're starting to do that a little more with her. And it's pretty painful as the first child. I mean, she, I don't know if she's just overly sensitive, but she'll break down pretty easy. And so when something pushes back or is a little more difficult for her, she's quick to just whine or try to get mom and dad to fix it. And we've had conversations now with her of, okay, we'll be here for you, but we're going to encourage you to take a little more responsibility. Trying to get her to understand and to grow that she can, one, do a lot on her own, but two, it's good for her to learn through some failures. And then there's some good conversations that can come out of that.
You just have to have like 300 of those, or maybe 4,000.
Well, that's the thing. Know, like, yeah.
Close to 5,000.
Yeah.
It's.
And I think it always.
It's really hard to keep your eye on that.
Yes.
Feature.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think it is. You always have to come back, and I know you don't do this daily, but your spouse can help you. It is so important for me to sacrifice this time, to make these sacrifices, to do that, and lift your head above the fog, like he said, to keep your eyes on the not yet.
Well, and what he says about God not loving you any less, mm-hmm. like the reality that you're just going to kind of screw it up sometimes too.
Right.
But, you know, it's part of it.
That's right.
That you also growing and.
That's right. You know. Yeah. Yeah, and he ends his book kind of talking about someone who loved us into loving. He kind of used that quote from. What's his name? Mr. Rogers' life. He says, from the time you were very little, you've had people who have smiled you into smiling, people who have talked you into talking, sung you into singing, loved you into loving. And he comes back and he reflects back on his dad. And his dad followed Christ. In the Bible, it says, follow me. Right? As I follow Christ, that's what Paul wrote. And so his dad followed Christ. And in the moments of his life in middle school and high school, even thinking my own personal life, like that's not what I was interested in, but I saw my dad doing it. And so then later on in life, as the Spirit worked on me, I saw what my dad was doing, and I saw the importance now in my life for that. And so I saw my dad following Christ. And then as I grew up, I wanted to be like that. I started to follow him, but we're both following Christ. My dad's saying, okay, well, don't follow me. I'm going to keep failing you. Let me point you to the Father. And let me point you to who is a good Father. And how do you know him? And what does that look like? And so we're drawing our attention for our kids. We're saying, okay, follow me. But then what are you doing? You're following Christ. And he says, keep looking to Jesus and your children will look to you. And you point to the Father who loves you and you all become like him. And so as you think about the age chart, as you think about mottos and vision for your kids, for the future, of what am I training them up to be? We're living for the not yet, but we have to live in the now. All right. I'm gonna do these things in the now, but I want to keep our head raised and focused on, okay, we're following Christ. I want them to be disciples. I want them to be little Christ. That's what a disciple is, a little Christ, and that's the direction we're going. And yes, we will fail, but we have to rest on Jesus' grace. And so we just continue moving. He says there is a beautiful tension here. In the final analysis, it is neither us nor our habits that form our children. It's Jesus' grace. He is the one who walks with them through their best and their worst days, just like he has done for us. That's a big relief for us parents. So I encourage you, follow Christ, trust, pray, make your request known to the Lord that you want your kids to know him and follow him. But you follow Christ, lead out in that, parent in that way, and see what Jesus' grace does with your kids. Any final thoughts or questions about just the book, about habits, about the now and the not yet?
That Proverbs, was it Proverbs?
Yeah.
That
where there is no vision, the people will perish.
Yeah, that's pretty. Yes, that's a lot right there. What's the? I honestly don't know. Do you know the context of that?
No, I have to look at it.
But yeah, that's that really. When I saw that, I was like, man, it's true.
Yeah. I mean, knowing Proverbs is wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. Wisdom and death, basically, right? Life and death, wisdom. Then I'm guessing that's just a wisdom statement to, I'd have to look at it, but have vision on your life. Because mm-hmm. when you don't, then you're living in the now. So can you function with your emotions and feelings and trusting those in the now? No. A lot of times those lead us astray. And so with Proverbs, talking about the world being a, like a lustful woman and being deceived by a lustful woman, then if we don't have vision and we're living in the moment now, we're going to be deceived and we're going to just continue to fail.
Yeah.
There's a habit that I changed. Luke Pearson shared.
Yeah.
His daughters went off to college, and she wrote him a letter saying,
yeah.
Daddy, every morning I remember you in the recliner with your Bible open reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
that's a great
thinking,
example.
We use our cell phones as Bible apps or devotionals, so we may be in the Word of God, but all our children
but what
see
are they seeing?
Is a screen.
Yeah.
So habit I've changed in the morning is actually getting out the Bible and reading it, and
yeah,
now that's what James is seeing versus a screen in my faith. Even though we are doing the right thing, they don't know that. So
yeah,
setting
right.
examples of the Word.
Yeah, I've been convicted of that too. That's good. Yeah.
Growing up with the family, at least once a week, my dad would get out the Bible and we would read and talk about it. And he
mm-hmm.
would, even as little kids, he would just like, what's your opinion? What do you think about that? What's that? And some of it led to very interesting conversations. Like, you know, when it's Christmas and we're reading the Bible story, and my sister, who was 4 at the time, goes, what's a virgin? Like, well, we're not. I don't know
that's not the point of my talk to that.
We are going to talk about Jesus came.
Yeah.
But, you know, even those things, like, no conversation was, you know, for, you know, not allowed to be talked about. And I don't know, it created a very open atmosphere. Like, we knew when we talked, our parents listened.
Yeah. That's good. Well, if you didn't catch the whole class or didn't, or haven't read the book, I encourage you to go back through and look at those habits. They're helpful tools for you as you parent for the not yet. And I just want to remind you as parents that this is the season you're in. No matter how old your kids are, or no kids at all planning for kids, that this is the season that the Lord has given to you for formation, to form your kids, or to vision cast and goal. What do you want parenting to look at like? And so this is the season that the Lord has placed you in to form them. And the truth that we can all take away is that this is a unique opportunity that we have to help them become who they will be. And that's so important. And we must take it seriously. Because he has specifically given us that role to form them. And so who are we forming them into, and what habits are we creating in our lives that are affecting that formation? So hopefully you just walk out of here with some simple things to hopefully change to help form your kids more like Christ as you are becoming more like Christ. Any other thoughts?
It's kind of just like, basic setting goals mm-hmm. and figuring out how to achieve those goals.
Yeah. And we do that in business all the time or in the workplace all the time.
Right.
But not with our family.
I think what I tend to find is if I do a good job of setting my goals and figuring out how to achieve those goals, then I'm more likely to reach them. But it's always harder. How to achieve the goals usually involves some sort of change.
Yeah.
And the change is always harder than just keeping the status quo.
Yeah, yeah.
And status quo is easier.
Yeah.
But the end result is not what I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say there's probably going to be moments where those goals are different than what you thought, or the Lord had his little version, but you were still faithful in that. So it might not meet exactly that goal. But then the other thing, like just thinking at the beginning of the book, and I think you were here for it, but we have to practice our way out of those bad habits, right? We practice our way in. We got ourselves into ruts of habits of just handing our kid our phone to veg out, and we need to practice our way out. And that just is hard and difficult. It takes time, and we're going to fail at it. But it's important, and we must do it. Yeah. Yeah, I think you can think of it as making a business plan or something for your family.
Yeah, it's funny that analogy. Like, I took an entrepreneurship class in college, and you know, they talk about the roles. You know, and the CEO, their job is to set the vision for everybody, mm-hmm. right? Because, like you said, if you don't have a vision, it's right. like
what direction we're going.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like, well, we're the CEOs of our families. You know what I mean? So, but we're also everything else for the family.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. All right, let me close. Lord, I just ask that you give us wisdom as we parent our kids, as we look to start families, as we father our grandparents, as we even parent our current kids, Lord. Lord, we're always told that they grow up fast, or even we then complain that parenting feels like it takes forever because it's so hard and painful, and we're living in the moment. Lord, I pray that we can find a balance of living in the now and the not yet, Lord. That you would give us wisdom as we talk with our spouses and think about how we want to parent, what we want our kids to become like. Lord, I pray that we would go to your word, that we would see what you've called us to train up our children in your word. And so would you stir up our hearts to change our lives, to follow you, and may our kids do the same, Lord. Lord, I pray that Proverbs 29:18 would just be in our hearts. Where there is no vision, the people will perish. And so, Father, give us vision for our families, and may all our kids come to know you. We love you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.